Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my forever partner in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, shalom to you, my dear, and to all of you tonight's listeners. We've been digging into the meat lately, mostly because we are that last generation hungering for more knowledge. Therefore, God has made us privy to other ancient writings, also referenced in our scriptures, particularly by Peter and Jude, primarily from Enoch, which were found beginning in 1947 in the caves at Qumran, across from the Dead Sea. These scrolls help us to connect some important dots. In fact, the Bible has often suggested we read other accompanied texts, and we'll tell you what they are after we bless the Lord.
Abba, Father, God above all gods, we thank you for our salvation and your many blessings. We agape you, glorify you, and worship you alone. We pray for those who are called by your name for supernatural protection as these days appear ominous as we approach the rapture of your bride. We petition your blessing on tonight's program as we offer up to you our recent prayer requests and for the salvation of our loved one. And may these prayers be a sweet sound to your ears. We also pray divine wisdom over President Trump to fulfill your will. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen.
Okay, so besides quoting Enoch in the New Testament, there are other suggested recommendations to read.
Yes, we can't find them all, but we know in Numbers 21, it's called the Book of Wars. The Book of Jasher is mentioned in Joshua 10 and 2 Samuel 1. That's also called the Book of the Upright. And it contains early poems and accounts of Israel's heroes. The Book of the Annals of Solomon, which contain more details of his life. The Annals of the Kings of Judah, 1 Kings 14, and other prophets, as in Samuel, Gad, and Nathan in 1 Chronicles 21, and they have more of historical narratives. And also the prophecy of Ahijah, suggested in 2 Chronicles 9, which are records of prophetic encounters.
So it's encouraged to read other writings to enhance what the Bible says.
I think so. Mm-hmm. But if anything you read discounts the scriptures, disregard it. Discernment is vital in these last days. But we mostly just read the writings that were hidden in the Qumran caves by the Essenes, who I believe were real followers of God, who acquired ancient texts from Noah, who had brought them on the ark and passed on to Abraham, and eventually getting to the Essenes, who hid them when they knew the Romans were coming around the year 65 A.D. after Christ.
Okay, moving on. Are we back to war with Iran?
No, we're not, but we should be. And it's tit for tat in Lebanon with Israel, only allowed by Trump to be on the defensive. Their hands are still tied, even though Iran targeted Israel over the weekend, but has now ceased.
Although Hezbollah continues.
Oh, they do. And what's really upsetting is that Trump continues to say, for the 37th time, I might add, since March, that he is close to a deal, which is no deal for Israel. As well, Trump told Bibi if he continues in any offensive attacks, he would be going it alone.
Well, you know, in God's eyes, that's a no-no.
Yeah. So who wins here? Yes, Iran will not have nuclear weapons for a while, but as long as the IRGC is running things, that's only temporary. And there's little talk about their missile systems or their proxies totally dismantling. As we saw the Houthis engaging again on Sunday, threatening to close the Suez Canal, another important shipping lane. The people of Iran and Israel, they want a regime change, and appears at this time that they're not going to get it.
Yeah, I understand that Iran is now selling heroin for money.
We know this because Poland was able to seize a recent shipment worth about $60 million.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, if you have questions or comments, our email is sheila@shofarministries.net, or you can call the office and leave a detailed message too, 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Love offerings are needed and always appreciated. So, we've been talking about angels.
We sure have, as in how they can look like us. And Lucifer's pride, which was his downfall. We talked about Genesis 6 and who really are the sons of God. We'll talk about that again tonight. The Nephilim, the flood of Noah, and much more. And last week we explained how there was a gap of time between verses 1 and 2 of Genesis 1, before Adam, when Lucifer and his angels ruled the earth until rebellion was found in them. So God remade the earth and then made Adam 6,000 years ago from the dust of the ground.
And Eve, who came from Adam's side.
Yes.
And we left off where God is speaking to Job.
We did, which really clarifies to us that the sons of God were his created angels that did see the creation. So let's reread that again, and then we'll get into the life of Ahab, who we'll see clarifies that some of the angels were of God's divine counsel. But let's read Job 38, verse 4.
Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars...
That's the name for the angels.
...sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy.
Another confirmation that the sons of God, as in angels, were created first and witnessed the creation before man was ever around. So that answers Genesis 6:4, could not be the descendants of Seth. On a similar vein of misunderstanding, certain words are misunderstood. Let's look at Psalm 89, verse 5.
And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be held in reverence by all those around him.
This can be confusing if you don't understand the angels can be called a few things, like the sons of God or the holy ones, but also the saints, because saints is a word referring to residents. You and I will one day also reside in heaven. Therefore, his holy ones, the sons of God, and angels are also called saints as well. Let's now look at some other little G God scriptures, as in Exodus 15, verse 11.
Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods?
And Deuteronomy 3, verse 24.
What God is there in heaven or on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as yours?
How about 1 Kings 8, 23?
O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on the earth beneath.
And Psalm 97, verse 9.
For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods.
Obviously, there are little g gods in heaven. And there are others. If you search, you will find.
So, we have proven there are many Elohim, but only one Yahweh.
For sure. He is the supreme being, having unique qualities, and the sovereign king over all the other Elohim. By understanding this, you can go deeper and not get hung up when you see in your interlinear, the Hebrew word Elohim, when reason has it that it's not applying to Yahweh. It also helps to understand that the pagans way back then, and actually some still today, aren't just worshiping a mere statue. It represents the false god behind the statue that they serve. In other words, they were not delusional. These little g gods are real entities, and they wanted to please them to keep them contented so do not get angry with the people.
Because those gods were some real bad dudes.
Very. Remember Elijah on Mount Carmel?
Yes, definitely real and not a myth.
And we've all seen the hieroglyphics of half man and half animal. The people back then had to have seen these things. Fallen entities that mated with animals.
Bestiality at its finest.
And probably where the dinosaurs came from and died out in the flood. So the biblical Elohim is not hard to digest once we know that it isn't about attributes, but rather a part of the spiritual world. Again, mainly its original residence.
And in the heavenly realm, there is hierarchy.
Oh, yes. We've got the Trinity, the sons of God, and then the various types of angels or messengers. Now we can understand what the Old Testament writers understood, that Yahweh is a Elohim, but no other Elohim can ever be Yahweh, although obviously some thought they could.
And again today, some evil men think so too.
So, with tonight's information, we suggest you personally reread 1 Kings 22 about how God called on his divine counsel for their input on how to terminate Ahab, and actually, he accepted their idea. You know, many often just kind of slide by certain kinds of thorny words or phrases in Scripture like divine counsel, sons of God, the watchers, Nephilim, and even giants. But let us all desire to be challenged, and then be sure to share. I promise you, you will be blessed, for it blesses him. And isn't that what our life in Jesus should be all about?
Yes, pleasing him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and let me say, it's okay to disagree with any of our conclusions. Actually, my real calling is, as 2 Peter 1:13 says, to stir you up to do your own studies. All right, we've been studying certain scriptures that often leave a big question mark in our minds, and tonight will be no different. It's in 1 Kings 22, and now we are most interested in the first 40 verses.
With the first 15 verses setting up the context.
Yeah. So we're just going to give you an overview, and then we'll read a few of those verses. But first I need to comment on the very first sentence, because it still relates to Israel today. Would you read that, honey?
Now, 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel.
You know, down through the many centuries, well, until last year with a new leader, there has always been some kind of a battle going on with Syria, especially near Damascus.
As well as the Gaza Strip.
Yeah, there too. Think of the Philistines. But in this chapter 22, it has been somewhat quiet, but that will change. Because the apostate and wicked northern King Ahab is a bit antsy, and that he tells his servants that Ramoth in Gilead really belongs to Israel and not Syria. But he hesitates to try and take it for fear of a war that they might lose. So he asks for advice from Judah's southern king, Jehoshaphat. And would he help him if he chooses to go to war?
Jehoshaphat says yes, if Ahab first inquires from the Lord.
Right. So Ahab called for the prophets.
Yeah, you know, in verse 6 says there was about 400 of them.
I know. And they all give him the go-ahead for war. But they were false prophets. And the southern king, Jehoshaphat of Judah, asked if there might be a real prophet of God. To which Ahab says, well, there is Micaiah, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good concerning me.
Yeah, like the truth.
Yeah. Jehoshaphat rebukes him for saying Ahab hates a true man of God. So they call him in. But the false prophets get a hold of Micaiah first and secretly tell him to please agree with them and encourage Ahab to go to war.
But Micaiah said he would rather first seek the Lord.
And he does. Although at first Micaiah mocked the false prophets by pretending to be in agreement with them, but Ahab saw through that and pushed him for the truth. And that brings us to verse 17 and 18. When Micaiah answered,
I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace.
In other words, Ahab is gone.
And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?
And that brings us to what tonight's study is all about. And if you didn't have the background of what we've been talking about over the last 2 weeks, you might find the next verses peculiar. Verse 19.
Then Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by, on his right and on his left.
As we have previously addressed, these hosts of heaven are also made up of God's divine counsel, or Elohim, also referred to as gods, with a little g, that we read about last week in Psalm 82. And in the next verse, Yahweh God is having a meeting to discuss wicked King Ahab and how his demise would occur, because God himself had already decided it was time for his judgment of death. Because Ahab, along with his wife Jezebel, had Naboth killed and then took his beautiful garden in the previous chapter 21, whereby Elijah then had prophesied his doom.
Where the dogs would lick up his blood.
Mm-hmm. But God would allow his counsel to decide how it would be done. And now we know why the false prophets gave the okay for Ahab to go to war. They were actually influenced by God's divine counsel. Verse 20.
And the Lord said,
and he's talking to his divine counsel,
who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead?
That was once a Levitical city of refuge east of the Jordan River.
So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit.
Well, the original says a spirit of falsehood.
In the mouth of all his prophets, and the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so.
So the prophet Micaiah then says in verse 23,
therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours. And the Lord has declared disaster against you.
So not really lying as to Ahab's demise, but that Ahab would think he'd be okay if he did go to war.
Anyhow, Ahab didn't believe that the false prophets were lying.
Mm-hmm. And put Micaiah in prison, who told him not to go to war because he'd face his demise. Therefore, as the story goes, Ahab did die in battle, in his chariot, and the dogs did lick up his blood, just as Elijah had said that he would. The bottom line here is we see that God does have different groups of divine beings all around him.
Some are used for testing humanity.
Yes. So referring to all of them as being angels is okay, but actually the term angel means a messenger. And actually, some are fighters, as we read in Daniel 10, where Michael is an angel, but his title is a chief prince. And still others are called watchers, as in Daniel 4.
Some of which rebelled.
Right. But they're all called sons of God because they were directly created by God himself.
Do we have time to look at the watchers in Daniel 4?
Yes. That's where Nebuchadnezzar has a dream of an enormous tree that reached into the heavens, and obviously a good watcher with certain qualities, not detailed here. But he speaks to Nebuchadnezzar in his dream, telling him this certain tree would be chopped down to a stump. Of course, we come to realize the tree is a metaphor for Nebuchadnezzar, who will lose his mind and become like an animal. And verse 17 is specific, who decreed his fate.
The decision is by the decree of the watchers.
Yeah, that's his divine counsel.
And the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men.
So the decree is of the watchers, but makes it known that the Most High rules. And then in verse 24, Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, it is the decree of the Most High, which says to me that God is the sovereign one, but allows his counsel to take part and discuss it together and even announce it. But happily, we know the rest of the story, having a good ending, and his kingdom was restored, and a good lesson was learned to Ahab. And I truly hope you are enjoying digging deeper into God's word, because, my friends, there are things that are not fully seen to our eyes now, but one day will be. In the meantime, educate yourselves, because the unseen realm is becoming visual and extremely active in these last days. And we also want to thank a listener who last week called in to say that the Greek word in Luke 21, you know, that says there will be fearful sights from the heavens. Fearful sights is number 5400, phobetra, and can mean supernatural entities or monsters. We are already seeing these UAPs, and it's only a shadow of what is coming. End time signs are manifesting today. So precious people, if you have never made Jesus Christ Lord over your life, you are playing with fire that one day will burn you, literally. And let me tell you, myself being raised a good Catholic, I was not saved. It was in my head, but just calling yourself by your religious affiliation means nothing till you invite him into your heart. Bow down on your knees and personally repent for never really doing so. Demand those demons flee from you by the blood of Jesus and the power of his name. And then quickly get into the word of God, so your spirit, your soul, and your flesh become saturated with him. Then, of course, share your testimony. And then go help others. Be a discipler, because time is really running out. You better not wait. Be smart. Don't be a fool. What have you got to lose anyhow? All right, I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 6, verse 22. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for our president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, you're going to prosper in ways that you probably won't even know. And that's Psalm 122, verse 6. Hopefully you'll all have that memorized long ago. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.